Giant.
Monster Bullshit is the most listened to podcast in the country.
Anyways, guys, we watched...
What did we watch today?
Gamera, Guardian of Ga'Hoole?
Yes.
Gamera, the Guardian of Ga'Hoole.
Yep, that's what August Rigoni says.
August Rigoni. A few strange opinions voiced in... his intro is talking about the Guardians of Ga'Hoole and owls. It appears he might have watched the wrong movie.
But that's understandable.
It's okay.
Yeah. I don't want to talk too much about August Rigoni because we keep saying like, you know, he sucks, he's lame.
Yeah, he's just a bit goofy and represents exactly what I don't want people to perceive.
Exactly.
But he's a little too close to like be able to comfortably, you know, there's not much to say. This one isn't especially notable. He's just a little lame. This introduction. Once again, it's just funny that he's on here. It's like so strange. You know, usually like Criterion, even Arrow, they'll have like, you know, experts writing about these movies or talking about them. Yeah. Usually they're like critics or just like essayists of some sort.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just funny that he's like some guy kind of. Maybe he knows people. I don't know.
I don't know. I just don't like that. It's like, you know, for every other, you know, movie, even like cult movies or something, you would get like, you know, some kind of, you know, acclaimed director maybe, or like, you know, somebody from the industry, either that or like a long time like just movie critic or movie expert. But for some reason with Gamera, they were like, let's just get some guy who likes Gamera.
I mean, I guess they know their audience. I think there's probably some people who enjoy his what he has to say. But it is strange. It's so strange. Like, you know.
And I don't feel uncomfortable shitting all over him after his fucking public outburst on Twitter, which I'm going to keep reminding people of. He yelled at a kid on Twitter
saying that
over
he knew
Ultraman.
Knew more about Ultraman.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. It's so funny that the kid wasn't even mad.
Yeah.
Like, why are you upset with me?
The kid ended up telling people to be nice to August Rigoni, you know, after August Rigoni was like, don't even try to act like you know nearly as much as me about Ultraman, kid.
It's like, calm down. He's just talking about Ultraman, you know. Don't be mean to him. Anyways, we're once again.
Gamera, guardian of the universe.
Yeah.
So we finally made it here.
The modern Gamera. I've had these movies. I've never seen this one before. This is the first time I've seen this movie. And I've had these sort of hyped up for me. I've been hearing for a long time, since I was a wee little teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, you know, a weenager. I think I saw like I think you gave it to me after you got this big box set, but there's like the little trilogy set.
The Mill Creek.
Yeah, that
Blu-rays.
I saw that on like Amazon or something when I was younger. And I was like, whoa, didn't know about these. And I started looking at them. People are like, these are the best Gameras. These are great movies. You know, and just, I don't know. Ever since then, I've heard, you know, like those like late 90s, early 2000s Gameras are really, really good. You know,
they're all late 90s.
They're all late 90s? None of them make them into... Oh, okay. Never
I
mind.
Mean, Gamera the Brave is like 2006, but that's completely...
That's kind of separate,
disconnected.
But, you know, I've had these sort of hyped up for me, and people are like, he gets really cool in this one, you know, and all that. It was one of these viewings, one of these screenings where I kind of have to like be like, okay, just kind of... you know, blank out.
Remove yourself from that as much as possible.
Because it's like, whenever people are like, this one's so good, it's like, you know, it's like, you need to like remember, it's like, not that good.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that good. So I went in, you know, and I tried, because I know that if I went in being like, this is going to be an amazing movie, I'm just going to get disappointed.
Yeah. You know. No matter what.
Yeah. But I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I think it was about what I expected.
It's a solid little monster movie.
Very.
Not to belittle it, but I don't know. I feel like this is like baseline good monster movie.
Mm-hmm. Especially
giant monster movie.
Yeah, once you're closer to like more modern stuff.
I think in a lot of ways this kind of laid the groundwork for.
I noticed a lot of things, and I don't know how conscious it was, but, you know, a few things that were kind of seemed like set pieces or, like, general, like, ideas for presentation of a giant monster that a few newer movies might have borrowed from.
Yeah.
You know, a few stand out. Just the general sort of mystique that they create around Gamera in the early parts of the movie and the way they kind of reveal him. Seems like something that, you know, it's always been sort of the formula when you've got, you know, when you're rebooting completely. It's like, what the heck? There's a giant monster. Whoa, you know.
Yeah.
But this seems like, this sort of seems like it, like you said, it like laid groundwork for a way. It's like, okay, this is kind of like getting closer to the heart of what makes that work.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, as like more and more is added to the genre, it seems like, you know, the best of them sort of are getting closer to, you know, even in the bad ones, they're like using what was there. I mean, you know, using even the bad ones to get closer to like, okay, but what's cool about that? Like,
yeah,
what's the compelling thing at the heart of that? And I think this one stands out a little bit, especially in the early. It's kind of like, you know, getting just the mystique and like the whole idea of him being like ancient,
yeah,
you know, and going sort of hard on that.
I've heard a lot of people say that this is like the 2014 Godzilla, you know, plot wise, just like lifted, you know, it's just like a facelift of this,
maybe a little bit. Maybe it's not completely conscious, although it might be because Gareth Edwards is pretty,
I don't know. I heard him talking about Godzilla and some of the bonus features a long time ago, and I remember him getting some things kind of wrong.
Really?
Yeah. Which is, I mean, you don't need to fucking know everything. You don't need to be able to get everything right.
You just need to like it.
But I don't know exactly how far, you know, his interest goes into this stuff.
Yeah.
Because I get the vibe that he's just like a good filmmaker that like has some knowledge of Godzilla movies, like knowledge and appreciation of Godzilla movies. I don't know if he's like die hard, like, I know ever I can name every giant monster movie. I don't know if he's that big of a nerd.
Yeah.
Which you don't need to be a huge nerd to know about these, but
you just have to like it. You just have to love it, which I think he does. And you can feel that in his first couple movies. But I can see where people are like, this is pretty similar to, I think more than anything, you know, of course, you know, you look at how 2014 Godzilla, like, actually ends up on screen, two very different things, you know, there's very basic elements that are similar, but this does get, like I was saying, it gets closer to like, okay, like kind of getting like, oh, it's an ancient thing, you know, and there's sort of like mystery to it is like kind of, okay, that's sort of like an avenue to what's like compelling about these things. And like, you know, like, ooh, these huge monsters and they're old, and you know, you don't have to like go like the, it's a good way to like sidestep like it got big from radiation, you know, or so, even though they do kind of be like plutonium kind of
wakes it up a little, there's like that one scene
which some of this stuff plot wise gets lost a little bit, you know, the like the plutonium just kind of
ends up not mattering.
It's all right. I mean, it's whatever.
It's weird because in the next two, you'll see that, like, I don't think they really retcon anything, but the second one leans very heavily into, like, the science-y stuff. More shit about, like, cells and whatever, like, the science of it. And then the third one goes hard, like, very hard into, like, the mystical, like, there's a connection between these two creatures and
spirits.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, mystical stuff. And it's really weird, like, how they both like kind of take one aspect of this, but they were all made by the same people. So
just had different
it's
purposes.
Just really, really weird. But I it's been a few months at least since I watched these movies. I probably watched them maybe like 8 months ago, I want to say. And I think this one's my favorite.
Really?
I think the third one's got some really, really cool moments. Like some of the coolest moments in the entire thing. Like, just there's a few parts, like 3-minute segments of the third one, that make the entire movie worth it. But taking everything into account, you know, in the runtime of the movie, I think I like this one better. Just because it's very, very tight. And it I think is, that's another reason why people compare this to the 2014 Godzilla. They're both like the giant monster movie stripped back to like just what you need to make it not boring.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like giving, you know, there's a monster and there's another monster.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and
here's
then,
what happens. And then we've got some people.
And that's maybe one of my complaints about the movie, which isn't like just objectively bad, but it does seem very, very light on character and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, or not even just character, but like one of the reasons I love the 2014 Godzilla, and I'll try not to talk any more about it after this. But the whole scene before with Bryan Cranston and his wife and their son is just like, you know, it is building towards getting to the monsters, but like, you know, it's so like raw and emotional and real and grounded that you're like, okay, like I'm in the care of like very, very talented filmmakers. You know, like everything that happens in this world is going to feel real. And here it's like from the very first second, it's like, oh, we've hit something that's, you know, and then we end right when Gamera disappears, you know, which there's something to admire about that, because it's like, it was able to do that over the whole plot and not be boring. And also, like, pretty good. You know, like, none of it's, like, cringeworthy or, like, bad or boring or just wrong. It all works, but, you know, I still feel like it's not the best version it could be of itself,
no,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's and I wonder if part of it, if part of that is, like, it's still... this one seems like, not to keep talking about it, but it seems like it's getting closer to, you know, it's like trying to break away from sort of what was the complete, like you were saying, it strips everything back. And like a lot of the Godzilla movies that were going on at this time, you know, of course, there's, it's like, you know, fucking like G-Sub. Like there's always like this, like,
yeah, just laden with fucking,
you know, stuff,
spaceship where, subplots and stuff.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, you're you're kind of missing the point, or like, you know, you're preoccupied
with,
you know, just sort of noise, you know, instead of like the meat of what's good about this. But yeah, it's got a little bit of that, even though it's like, it's obviously like, okay, I don't know exactly what to be, you know, if the movie's a person, if I can get in the head of a movie. But it's like, I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be, but I know where not to go, you know, and there's certain things it avoids, but it still kind of falls into certain conventions of the time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's sort of just like, you know, a product of when it was made, I think, a little bit. And just like, you know, what these movies were generally expected to be and how they were conceived. But yeah, it's... That is like the weakest part, is like these characters and like the generally what I'd say it lacks in is emotion in terms of characters. And it's like that's what a lot of the, you know, newer stuff that's good, you know, really excels in. You know, even though it's not the best writing ever, you know, 2014 has got like a nice emotional heart to it. And
at some points it does get very close to like not the best writing, but like
very good.
Great writing.
Yeah, no, the best stuff, you know, the stuff that involves Bryan Cranston is definitely, you know, I think everybody is kind of has the consensus that he's probably one of the best things about the movie when he's there. But, you know, there's still like an emotional core to everything that's going on. And since you're able to like sort of, I don't want to act like I know what I'm talking about too much, but, you know, when you feel invested in, you know, what, what's his name? Oh my God, what's the name of the actor? In 2014. I can't remember. The gentleman who played Scotty.
And the gentleman who plays Chekhov.
but his plot has got like enough like emotional heft, you know, even though, you know, you wouldn't call the stuff with like his wife and kid like perfect and there's not enough time with them. Not, I'm not going to talk about that movie. Either way, there's like, it helps make the monster stuff compelling and feel like it's sort of, even though it's not really quite, it's like attached. You know, and same with, like, Pacific Rim, has got a nice, which of course that's more direct because it's literally people, you know, and robots fighting, but you know what I mean? It's got something that just sort of helps everything mesh. And this sort of lacks that in a lot of ways, that I think keep it from getting like really great. But Mr. Baloney is very right when he says it's outclassing, you know, the stuff that Godzilla was doing at the time.
I mean, I'd argue that Destroyer was better.
Yeah, well, that's like a special case, I think. But when, while there's good stuff, you know, and all those Godzilla ones, I would say that, you know, like you were saying, the tightness of this one, you know, sort of definitely puts it, you know, a few notches above, you know, the pretty bad, like Space Godzilla, you know, you know, should be ashamed of itself. You know. As well as various others that were coming out at the time.
King Ghidorah.
Yeah, King Ghidorah is pretty rough in a lot of places. Biollante is rough, yeah.
Yeah, I don't care what fucking anybody says. Biollante fucking...
That was not a very good movie.
That sucks compared to this.
It's another one, I mean, not to talk about it. You know, people are like, that's a really good one, actually. It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about?
I don't understand where you're coming from.
I think a lot of people in that case just can't separate, like, their appreciation for, like, the design.
Yeah, yeah, which, you know, maybe that's just a different way of watching movies. Maybe they just... Maybe you can feel good watching that movie with that in mind, but you're stupid, and I'm smarter than you. So, yeah, this definitely is, like, it's outclassing it pretty well. It's getting pretty ambitious with its special effects.
Pretty good special effects.
A flying antagonist?
With the exception of the CG stuff.
CG stuff is rough, but it's almost admirable a couple of ways they blend it. The missiles are all pretty bad and stuff that Godzilla was also doing a little bit later.
Yeah, sticks out to me is this was doing it before the Godzilla movies did basically the same thing.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, just as bad, just later. And like there's, you know, missiles where it's just, it looks like, you know, YouTube video level, you know.
Green screen free.
Yeah, and it's like, missile. You know, it's just like frustrating because it's like, I guess you can't see... When you're, you know, on your monitor, what's wrong with this? But, you know, just the missiles aren't moving with the screen.
They might not have been able to help it.
Maybe. Honestly. I don't know. But, it, you know, that stuff looks rough. But there's, like, the one part where, you know, at the beginning where Gamera flies away. And he, like, you know, the smoke builds up in front of him. And then he rises up, you know. And even though it isn't, like, this, it looks pretty video gamey. You know, it's still, like... I appreciate you, you know, not just, you know, that's tasking me with, you know, with cutting away, then cutting back to be like, he's CG now. You know? And you're not putting that on me to believe it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, there's some smoke. And then he comes up and it's like, okay, thank you.
That's such a great sequence.
Yeah. That really is some great stuff.
The dome part, the getting dome.
Yes, the Getting Dome
sequence. You go to the chapters in the on the DVD.
yeah.
Chapter 3, Getting Dome.
Chapter 3, you know, chapter 1, you know, mysterious, you know, developments. Chapter 3, Getting Dome. it looks...
I love it when he fucking smacks that one out of the air.
That's great. I love... You were saying when we were watching it, you're like, I like how Gamera doesn't fuck around in this one. And it's a good feeling because, you know, so many of these movies, you know, even Gamera ones, they just kind of like pussyfoot around.
Especially Gamera ones. Like, I kept thinking while I was watching this that, like, you know, Gamera really isn't here to fucking play games. Know, when previously he was literally playing games at times.
Yes.
And dancing around and shit, and he's just got no interest here.
Yeah, he shows up, and it's like immediately, and that's another thing that 2014 seems to lift, but it feels right, you know? Just, I keep bringing it up because that one, it works for that, and it works for this too, where it's like, you know, it's such a cool feeling to have, you know, without people being like, why is this monster in this place? You know, there's just like such a refreshing, like, immediacy to like, he's here to kill the antagonist and leave. He's here to kill the bad guy and then leave. That's all he wants to do.
Yeah.
You know? And he just like shows up and he's like, I want to kill that. You know, he hits one out of the air and then he, at another part, he like blows that one up.
Yeah, he blows it out of the sky.
Like, just immediately. Like, he's like, yep, there, gotcha. And it just blows up. And the movie doesn't even make too big of a deal out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like,
it's a great
shot. Yeah, yeah, it's
great editing at that part. Because he blows one fireball and it, like, goes into a hillside.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one immediately fucking kills it.
Yeah, it explodes everywhere.
It feels good, and I like that. You know, having three of them kind of allowed for that.
Yeah.
You know, so the stakes could get bigger, but he could also, you know, you get some immediate gratification.
Yeah.
You know, by seeing him just kill, you know, one at a time.
It's super great.
And this movie, my favorite aspect about this movie is that it does explosions better than any movie I've ever seen, I think.
Some pretty awesome fucking explosions.
I've never seen another movie that does explosions this good. Like, still, like, modern movies, like, nothing fucking compares, especially at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the explosions just keep getting bigger and bigger.
They're huge. I don't know
exactly. The one where he kills the last Gaius is just like, and it's such a, like, the way they photograph it is like, that's awesome.
It's such a I wonder exactly what they did and how much of it is, like, enhanced through, you know, like, optical, you know, or whatever.
I don't know.
You know.
So much of it looks like it's just, like, done in camera.
It's so big. Like, it's such a big explosion.
It's though, so big.
Know? It's so cool. But, yeah, a lot of the special effects stuff is very good. I was surprised. It's very mixed bag. It's a very mixed bag as well, though.
Mm-hmm.
While I say that, it's like the good stuff is really good, you know, and then there's some stuff that's like, eh. You know,
yeah.
Outside of the CG, there's, you know, with like a flying, you know, one of these creatures, and I mean, just in general in giant monster movies, they're hard to pull off, you know, without just looking like a puppet on a string.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, they do okay getting away from that. Sometimes it's hard not to see it as that sometimes. And
I mean, decades beyond Godzilla versus Mothra.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, for being made, like, what, like 5 years apart or something? Maybe less. Not going to look it up, but, I mean, they're fucking killing it. You were enjoying, like, the cloud. Like, they built practical clouds somehow.
Yeah, there's, like, physical clouds there, and, you know, while it's not, like, realistic, it's, like, heavily stylized, and it just looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
They do it a few times. There's, like, you know, blue skies ones, and it's just, it looks awesome.
There's one shot where it's a huge, like, wide shot, and you can just see camera, like, tailing Gaius, like, way off in the sky, and they're, like, very tiny, but like that shot looked so good.
Yeah, it looks
and
awesome.
There's so many shots of them in the air that actually look like really fucking great.
Instead of just sort of like, you know, defaulting back to like stock sort of ideas for ways to present that, which is what a lot of this genre's movies do, because it's like it's genuinely like a hard thing to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like the whole thing sort of depends on a guy in a suit, and then, you know, you're like things get really complicated really fast, I can imagine, when you've got somebody who's supposed to fly.
Mm-hmm. And you're just working on like a soundstage.
Yeah, you know,
with like a very finite amount of like
set vertical,
to work with.
Yeah, it's really admirable, you know, although like, you know, at the same time, it's like the cracks show a lot. There's a lot of the way that they do Gaius is a lot of, you know, like hand puppety looking stuff.
I wish they had figured out a way to make that look better.
Yeah.
Because sometimes Gaius just looks so fucking small.
It just,
And like weightless.
It's,
you know what I mean?
He's moving too fast.
I wish they had just built, you know, the design is fine.
It's
a pretty cool design, but I wish they had made like a big, like giant Gaius head to move around so it like felt weighty when it moved.
Something, because it's... Because
you can tell it's like literally like just around a guy's hand.
Yeah.
Like that size.
It's rough, but then to counter that at the same time, sometimes it's got like these eyes that look around a bunch that are really beady and stuff, and it's almost like makes up for it. It's like, that's a nice touch. Like, I'm glad it's not just a puppet, you know? And it's like, well, you know, here's some life to it. But yeah, it messes with how big it feels. And there's other times where the scale is just kind of wonky because they're also changing size throughout the movie. So it's kind of like, how big is it supposed to be? But yeah, the majority of it is very, very impressive, and they're just going for it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is the thing. It's like, you know, and I think they had a relatively small budget. Uh huh.
Yeah.
You know,
like according to August Rigoni's, he's crunching
that's
numbers.
Right, yeah.
He said it's a third of the budget for the average Godzilla movie of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome.
If he is to be believed, and that's very, very impressive, mm-hmm. and they did a great job. And, you know, looks very good.
Regardless, they did a good job. Even if the budget was twice as much as a Godzilla movie, mm-hmm. it still looks fucking awesome. You can tell, like, it's very. Just resources were allocated better.
Yeah,
and, you know, I don't want to say, like, these were more talented people making it, but they were definitely more passionate.
Definitely.
That there's comes across yeah, without yeah. a doubt.
At the very least, more resourceful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the stuff looks pretty good. And that's probably the best thing I would say about it. Is, you know, all the Gamera stuff is very, very good.
Yeah.
And all a lot of the special effects are good. And the ideas for certain set pieces are pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stadium thing is probably the best mm-hmm. part. You know, him showing up and stuff, it just feels cool.
And it's such a definitive image. You know, mm-hmm. it's not really saying anything, but it's just got so much identity in it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like I haven't seen something like that in a giant monster movie before.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
but it's so perfect, like just the image of, you know, Gamera like coming over and like looking into mm-hmm. the stadium. Awesome. Yeah. And his first takeoff is awesome too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's like the movie answers your questions pretty quick, like, you know, is he gonna do the same shit he used to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's gonna breathe fire, he's gonna fly around, he's gonna spin.
Yeah, I like that they aren't embarrassed to do that.
Yeah.
Either where it's Fuck just it. Like, yeah, he spins. He mm-hmm. shoots fire out of his legs. And he flies around.
But he's serious now.
Yeah, he's not
pissed off the whole time.
He's not messing around. Mm-hmm. He's still flying around though, so That works also to make it feel very good, where it's like, you know, a lot of movies, I think, a while after this, and even today, you know, there's like a certain embarrassment mm-hmm. to certain elements of like cheesiness or like camp, you know, mm-hmm. and it feels good to have them just go like, no, we're going through this with
it. Why a lot of people hated the 98 Godzilla.
Yeah, because it's
because it was very clear they were like embarrassed. Of to be, the previous Godzilla movies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and this one is just like totally not shying away. It's just like, we're going to fucking, all that shit, we're going to make that work.
Yep, we're just going to do it. And we're going to try to make it
That's good. Also why, part of why I love the 2014 Godzilla.
Yeah, just, we're going to go through thing. It. We're not embarrassed of the idea of, you know, it, fighting another monster or anything. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, should I, monster, you know. But yeah, no, it feels
fuck
great.
Fuck it, we're going to do it.
Yeah, going through it. And it's great.
This was, I believe the first time that a woman ever played a giant monster.
I didn't know that.
Gaios is played by a woman.
That's cool.
Can we get a round of applause? Please.
Please.
For the first woman in a monster.
Oh, no. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's neat. Steven Seagal's daughter.
Mm-hmm. Old Dead Eyes.
Old Dead Eyes. yeah, that, you know, it's not, she's not great in lots of parts of this.
I don't know why, but there's like a charm to her.
Mm-hmm. No, I was going to get to that. Where it's like,
I like it. Like, yeah, she's not acting very well. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, I don't know what to compare it to without sounding like a fucking, like I'm really shitting on her, but she's just not a great actor. And, mm-hmm. you know, most of the part, she's just kind of like looking, you know, in one direction and they're like filming her. And like, you can tell she thinks she looks like kind of badass.
Yeah, maybe.
And I don't know. It's just really funny. It's really funny though. And like, I kind of like her. In
yeah.
Like a,
no.
In like a non-ironic way. I'm just mm-hmm. like, that's cool.
Yeah, it's novel that she's like in the movie, and it's like, that's Steven Seagal's daughter. Okay, you know,
right. And also just like, it's such a like a central role,
yeah,
for somebody who's like, you know, doesn't have the chops to be like, she's thrown in with like a bunch of actors that are doing a pretty good job, like the guy who's playing her dad and like the two scientists.
There's a lot of effort at the very least.
They're doing a pretty good job, and then it's her, you know, who just kind of sucks, but she's like, you know,
in the middle,
more important than everybody.
Yeah, it's neat.
Cool.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
It's good. I like it. But she is not good. But it's cool that she's in the movie. You know, it's that old. And she's probably the best thing about the humans. That's like, you know, watching her is the most fun.
Yeah.
And also that's another thing they're not embarrassed to do, where it's like she is connected spiritually to Gamera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's your excuse?
Yeah. I like that.
You know, it's cool. They just go through with it. And she plays into the end a little bit, it seems like, maybe through a connection she motivates, or she's somehow a part of killing Gaios.
I don't know.
Yeah, but they're pretty vague with it, but it's all right.
Yeah.
It's neat. It's a good little moment. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I was a little kid, it would have given me goosebumps. Here, it feels a little bit like something that's supposed to give me goosebumps.
Yeah, yeah.
So that stuff's neat. Now we've gotten all that stuff, and then like what's left over is a little bit of stock, giant monster movie elements.
Yeah, that's a lot of like obligatory stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like people being like,
we're forming the committee, the defense force. There's always forces in these movies.
And there's, you know, they're like, you know, there's like three scenes where they're just like, the monster is called Gamera. We're going to call him Gamera. Like, okay. Now we're going to call him Gamera. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Sounds good, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a few, you know, we are sending the military. Yeah, mm-hmm. It never gets too bad because the movie's so short.
And also, they use it to good effect because you're supposed to be frustrated with it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's all supposed to be in vain. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you're supposed to be frustrated at the military. You know, even trying to hurt Gamera just because, you know, their
you're
efforts
supposed to be
are
a good guy too.
You know, going to the wrong place. Yeah. So. That's good. And it's all fine. I like that they don't bring out like we're bringing out the special laser cannon.
Oh, God.
You know,
that stuff
it's
is
just
so
like,
mind-numbing.
No, we're bringing out tanks and we've got missiles and we're going to do what we can, but that's not what this is about.
It will not go on longer than 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it crops up a little every now and then, you know, but it's like there's never like an extended sequence where it's like, you know, I can feel myself aging while I watch, you know, missiles and, you know, little firecrackers go off on Godzilla. So that was cool to have it never slow down for that, you know, for like no reason. There's some pretty cool images. The movie's pretty well photographed in a lot of the special effects scenes, just like, you know, there's like some nice lighting, like, you know, when Gamera first shows up, they've got good lights on him in front of that little oil field area. I don't know what you'd call that, but and then
refinery.
When Gaios destroys Tokyo, or when he causes Tokyo Tower to get destroyed by guided missiles and he lands on it, you know, that stuff's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. That stuff's pretty awesome.
It's a really nice. Pretty giant monster movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's why it caught a lot of people off guard.
Yeah.
Is because there was a little bit more, you know, stuff people would describe as like artful. You know, I mean, it's always artful, I guess. But, you know, it felt like, you know, this one was like meditated on for a little bit longer than your average, like, let's get it fucking done so we can move on to the next thing.
Right.
You know, this felt like really inspired and worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad because August Rigoni said this started out in concept as a 60-minute children's special.
That shit's crazy. Like, what are you thinking? Like, the last one is like the very worst one. You know,
which was just that idea.
Yeah, it was just that, you know, which of course it was like a clip show basically, but it's like, especially in like, you know, maybe I had to be there, but just to, you know, the 90s, like early 90s, it's like, here, we'll make a 60-minute children's movie. And it's like, that's why?
Mm-hmm.
That just seems like the wrong, but of course that didn't end up.
Yeah, it's really cool that it turned out to be like the complete opposite.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. that just like a regular, you know,
relatively
more
serious.
Mature take yeah. on something that used to be pretty much exclusively for kids.
Yeah. There is like some parts of it. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what, but there are like some stuff that felt a little kiddish to mm-hmm. me. It's just the way the movie feels, especially early on. Mm-hmm. Something about it is like there's a little bit left over. I don't know what it is. Just the way it begins. I couldn't tell
I mean,
tell
I'm
you.
Sure they were hoping to bring in money from some
no,
kids.
No, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, as a kid, I would have fucking loved this, probably. No, yeah,
totally. But it feels like something was left over. I don't know. But maybe that's just me imagining things. Mm. There's not much I have to say about this movie besides it's pretty good. I think I had it overhyped for me, even though I tried to, like, adjust my frame of mind.
It's hard to do that because, like, you know, the stuff people say about this movie more often than not, you know, they're not wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it is, like, special for a giant monster movie, and it does a lot of things that weren't being done at the time, and, like, you know, it does stand out and being, like, really unique, mm-hmm. you know? And it's just, like, a good monster movie, but it's hard to hear that and then, you know, not expect to be blown away. I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Which I really didn't want to feel that way going in. I think I kind of was able to sort of, you know, just sort of pay attention to what was there
mm-hmm.
And not be let down by anything. But like we said, the plot is a little, you know, the human element is a little bit thin.
Yeah.
There's not much of like an arc to anybody's stuff.
No,
you
really.
Know, and we start out, you know, which it isn't the worst beginning, but we start out and don't blink. There are two ships.
Yeah.
That's something Mr. Bologna says. You remember how we said we weren't going to talk a ton mm-hmm. about him? You know, it just starts off and it feels like a little off on the you know, just from the exact place it starts. It's like we're on ships and, you know, which there's something to the immediacy of it, which is like, let's go, let's go. Something
yeah,
strange
what,
is happening.
Was, yeah, right saying now. Earlier, like, there's zero fat, but also, like, I don't know. My personal taste for giant monster movies is I like it when the main characters' lives are disrupted mm-hmm. by the presence of giant monsters. These characters feel like they were purpose-built to be vessels, you know, for, like, these are the people we're going to watch because they're closest to the giant monsters. You know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
This guy was just, like, on, you know, this ship or whatever,
yeah.
and then immediately on the Gamera discovery team or whatever,
yeah.
and this lady is like, okay, your assignment is to be with the birds,
yes.
you know, and...
These strange is happening with the birds.
Yeah, I don't know. I prefer when it feels like they're real characters before the monster
yeah.
gets in,
mm-hmm.
you know,
It just feels a little off on the way it starts, where it's like, this isn't quite right, you mm-hmm. know, but it's fine because it's like, it's just trying to get to the monster stuff and it doesn't really have a
yeah.
pretense.
You can't fault it for being a monster movie.
No, yeah, it's just not like, I mean, it's just not aiming for, you know, people's story really.
No.
You know, they never pretend like some Godzilla movies from this era where it's like, this is a story about a girl, you know,
yeah.
you know, about this girl and her dad. It's like, no, it's not. It's a Godzilla, you know, but
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This has room for, you know, like just a simple arc, you know, it's
yeah.
not a hard thing to get in there, but you know, it is like, you know, don't go in expecting it's a good monster movie, but it's not, you know, an especially good
movie.
But you know, it's like fine. It's just kind of like if you go in expecting like a good, because I kind of did, even though I tried to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, well, there's gonna be like a nice story.
Yeah.
I've also seen, you know, Gamera the Brave, which has a pretty good.
I love Gamera the Brave.
Yeah, that's a pretty great little arc, you know, and that's a very specific movie. It's different from this one.
Mm-hmm.
But. I went in hoping for something like that here.
Yeah.
Just in the sense that like there's going to be a people.
Our
story.
Sensibilities are so similar that I can like pretty much already tell you that like Gamera the Brave is going to be your favorite Gamera movie.
Really?
By the end of it. You know, none of these are going to be Gamera the Brave.
Mm.
You know, they just don't take the time to like look at people's lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, which is like, you know, makes it all the more rewarding
mm-hmm.
when.
You get to Gamera,
you know,
Brave.
You fight monsters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, that's not to say that these movies are bad.
It's just, yeah, it's the it doesn't like push them as far as they possibly could go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's good is good. You know, but beyond that, so it's like, yeah.
They do, the third one is probably the most character-centered.
Really?
Out of all of them.
Mm.
The second one, like I said, is very rooted in, like, numbers. Mm. And, you know, just sort of telling you things. Which is, it isn't bad.
Right, it's just...
But, I don't know, I think it you take, like, the more impersonal elements of this movie and play them up. Still got great special effects and everything. Interesting to watch, just, like, maybe a little more boring. And then the third one, they bring back a lot of the characters from this one. And I think from the second one, too. But it's more about... There is, like, a storyline following a human that, like, directly impacts what happens with the monsters.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're going to like them both. And I'm glad that we're doing it. Like, we're watching all of these, and then we're watching GMK.
Because
it's the same team working on
all
of them. But, yeah, this pretty good.
Yeah, it was a pretty good movie. You know, I almost feel pressure to give this, you know, to say that this is really good, but...
What do you think about Gamera's look in this?
I thought he looked pretty good. I don't know. You know, of course, the suit is much cleaner than it has been in previous ones and isn't, you know, a total, you know, mess like it was the past few, where it's, like, destroyed, basically.
Yeah.
From use. But, yeah, I like Gamera's look. He looks neat. It didn't stand out to me a ton. He still kind of got, like, bright eyes. In some ways.
It's very much like the logical progression.
No, yeah. It's like you don't want to go too... Because, like, if you make it, like, too serious or, you know, you know, monster, it's going to be, like, comical. You know, it's going to be, like, bordering on, like, a parody's idea of what a serious version of this would be.
So I don't know if you know this, but the design changes pretty heavily throughout these.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've seen photos.
By the end, he looks pretty different. I really like his design at the end.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly like all of them, but by the time he gets to the third one, it's, like, so fucking stylized and, like, you know, clearly they're just, like, doing what they think is cool.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Which it is cool,
but
they make him, like, massive by the third one, and his head gets kind of small, and his eyes get really tiny. Really cool.
Yeah, I was all right with it. It didn't stand out to me. I didn't think about it too much, but it was, like, nice.
But it works.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
With that, we can get into Don Fry's.
I've been kicked in the head by a horse a few times.
Yeah, this is up there with my favorite Gamera movies. I mean, every time we get to the Don Fry's, I'm like, yeah, this movie wasn't perfect, but I liked it.
Yeah.
Guess that's true again, but, you know, I mean, it goes without saying. I guess no movie's perfect. Yeah, this is a good movie. It's got nothing to be ashamed of, I don't think. Everybody who likes it, I think, is perfectly justified in liking it. It's a great giant monster movie. Very fortunate that this got made, I think, you know,
yeah,
because, like, I feel like the alternative was, like, you know, something didn't do somebody at that point, it just would have fucking faded into obscurity, like,
yeah, yeah,
countless other
giant
monsters that have just fucking gone away. I don't know, it's also, like, a cool middle finger to the Godzilla movies, like,
yeah,
you know, because they were wrapping up, and the next one that came out, everybody hated it. Fuck you. We're going to make cool Gamera movies right now.
Here's what you should be doing.
And, I don't know, there's a line in this movie where they're like, where they tell Steve Seagal's daughter to go to the movie theater if she wants to see giant monsters.
Yeah.
And that felt like such a, like, every now and then Godzilla and Gamera, they, like, try to, like, throw shade at each other. Like, I'm going to knock over a Godzilla poster.
That's so lame.
It is lame. And this one feels, like, so good. It's like, you know. That's fake shit.
Yeah.
You know, Godzilla's that fake shit.
You want the real shit? Come back to Gamera when you're ready for the real shit.
And also, like, the fact that they're, like, not even willing to, like, acknowledge Godzilla by name.
No, not even. It's just, like, a little one. They're just so confident.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Confident enough.
I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10, I think.
Mm-hmm.
7 to a 7.5. Awesome.
Yes. Gamera.
It gets 2 Wolverine claws out of 3.
It sucks. it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't an especially good movie. I've pretty much said everything I want to. Especially good, you know, it's not an especially good movie. But it's a pretty good giant monster movie. And more than anything, you know, beyond the quality or how much I like, you know, the end result, there's a lot of like passion and care for, the end result, you know, for like the making of it. You know what I mean? I have nothing else to say. I'm feeling a 6 out of 10. That's how I feel.
Awesome.
Pretty good.
1 Wolverine claw out of 3. All right.
A pan review from the Wolverine critic. Oh, God. Imagine that. Imagine a skinny little, you know, neck-bearded, greasy kid.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm Wolverine. What are we watching next?
We're watching Gamera, Attack of the Legion, sometimes called Advent of Legion, but who cares?